the youth from Grass and Arrows, Chimiigwech. It was their stand that inspired our people, like the women from the Northern Lights Anishinaabe Kwais, to stand together, because a lot of people like know what happened in Grass and Arrows, but maybe a lot of people don't. What happened in Grass and Arrows is that, you know, a lot of, you know, there was a lot of clear-cutting taking place, and a lot of youth, you know, like, they didn't really understand what was going on, so actually, they actually went out there, and they actually, you know, like, left the school, and they went out into the forest, and they went and laid down on the road. You know, they actually laid down on the road to stop the logging trucks from coming in and coming out. And when we started, you know, facing off with our issues, you know, of forestry and aerial spraying and MNR and Bowwater and whatnot, we didn't really know where to go to. Like, we didn't know who to call for help. We didn't know how to do anything, like, you know, being truthful. And my former partner, his grandmother is from Grass and Arrows, and I remember sitting on a couch, you know, crying, thinking, you know, like, what are we going to do, you know, like, what can we do? And I seen her picture, and I said, we got to go to Grass and Arrows. So myself, my cousin Donna, my cousin Darlene, my cousin Aaron, we put our money together, we jumped in a caravan, and we went to Grass and Arrows. And that's where we met Juliet Silva, Barbara, Roberta, Carl, Joe Fobister. We briefly met Ashley Loon, who's like one of the actual, you know, like, youth that actually, you know, went out there. You actually see pictures of Ashley, you know, like, she's the actual person, like, you know, in those posters, like, you know, like, you know, she's standing there, and there's a big logging truck, and she's the actual one standing in front of this truck, and she's an amazing young woman, you know. I'm so proud to have met, you know, the people from Grass and Arrows, and, you know, I'm so honored, because it was their heartbeat that just, you know, gave me that push to go out into the world and, you know, do what I'm doing right now. So we left Grass and Arrows, and then we went to Mishkigogamang, which is my community, and we went on the radio, and we went and announced to the 49 First Nations up north, you know, like, what happened to us will definitely happen to you guys. So we were trying to, like, you know, like, you know, let people know, you know, like, they're coming. And then from there, we had some protests in or gatherings there in front of the Ministry of Natural Resources in Sioux Lookout. And a Sioux Bulletin in Sioux Lookout actually covered it, so there's something to research. Sioux Bulletin. Tim Brody is the one who actually covered it. And Wabwate in Sioux Lookout also knows about, you know, like, the ongoing struggles that we've been, you know, dealing with. So we all went our separate ways. There was 7 women, and we all had to, like, you know, go our separate ways so we can all go out into the world and do what we had to do. And my role was to come out into this world, well, not this world, but, yeah, come into, you know, the urban areas to let people know, you know, what's happening up north. And I've been on this journey, you know, for, like, almost 7 months now, without money, without a vehicle, got no gas for a vehicle. And I've been pretty much traveling, you know, like, I've traveled, like, all the way to BC, and I've traveled through different communities where I've met different Indigenous people from Turtle Island that are facing, you know, similar concerns, but, you know, it's a different natural resource. Like, I met people from Haida Gwaii, you know, in the colonized name is Queen Charlotte Islands, and I met a lot of people from Haida Gwaii, and, you know, like, they're very, you know, spiritual, you know, like, they know who they are, they're connected to the land, and the forestry company, you know, Weyhauser, has been, like, you know, pretty much desecrating, you know, like, their traditional territories. And if you talk to the people from Boreal Forest, you know, they'll tell you, they'll give you the specific dates of, you know, when Haida Gwaii, you know, shut their doors to this forestry company, Weyhauser. I had the honor to meet and sit with these people from Haida Gwaii. I met people from Metalltown First Nations, and recently, you know, like 13 elders, you know, stood together in Metalltown where they tried to stop, you know, some sort of development. And the RCMP, you know, arrested them. You know, and that's another struggle that's happening in BC. There's the Sun Peaks, you know, the Delta Hotel. They want to clear cut and you know, completely devastate, you know, like these beautiful mountains, you know, these beautiful mountains. You know, I mean, if you've ever been to BC, you know, all these mountains, they have a history, you know. There's someone's livelihood, you know, there's someone's home. And this company, you know, or this hotel, Delta, they want to build this ski resort, you know, which is called Sun Peaks. And, you know, it's just going to destroy the environment once again because, you know, these mountains, you know, it's someone's home. And a lot of these people, you know, like, they don't want to lose their home to a ski resort, you know, and that's why there has been resistance in BC, you know, in regards to Sun Peaks, you know, the Delta. And there's a lot of, like, you know, different mining companies. Like, there's this company that wants to build a pipeline from Alaska to Calgary, you know, for natural gases. Well, a lot of people love Indigenous people, you know, they don't agree with it. You know, because it's, once again, it's someone's traditional territory. And then I was actually in Chiem, in Chilliwack, and I was standing with these women, and there happened to be, like, you know, a bunch of us. But what happened is that, you know, they're having a big fishing issue, you know, for the salmon fishing, where the Indigenous people in BC, they're actually facing off with the DFOs, which is the Department of Fishery and Ocean, where they're trying to limit, you know, our people from fishing in these rivers, saying that we're, like, overfishing them, you know, which is a lie. Because, you know, like, as an Indigenous people, you know, we don't overfish, you know, we only take as much as needed and we leave the rest, you know, so we don't, like, you know, take excess, we don't take, you know, we don't over-exaggerate. And this is the thing about, you know, like, Chiem is, like, you know, these people have been struggling, you know, for ages, you know, for decades, you know, trying to assert their rights that they've never, you know, ceded their land. They never signed a treaty in BC. So why are these multi, you know, corporations, you know, coming into these lands and, you know, like, doing what they want, ignoring our people and just pushing them aside and arresting them, throwing them in jail, you know? And a lot of people, a lot of our people, they don't have the money to, like, you know, like, get proper representation. So a lot of our youth are in jail and they're, you know, they're just sitting in there, you know, because they actually came out and they believed in what their ancestors done, and they're getting punished for it. And that's another thing about, you know, these court cases out in BC, you know, they drag and they drag and they drag. So let's say if I want to go to school, you know, I want to, you know, like, you know, move on with my life. Well, I can't because, you know what, I still have to go to court and I don't have the money to go to court. So, I mean, it's continuous. It's continual, you know. And these are one of the struggles that are happening in BC. When you go to Alberta, I was in Calgary for a while, and there's a lot of division in Alberta, you know. And I'm not speaking for them. I'm speaking on what I have seen and what I have heard, you know, because I don't speak on behalf of anybody. They have lots of, like, you know, like, gas and oil. Yes, they are creating jobs for the First Nations people. Yes, they are hiring them. But what happens when all these, like, you know, gas and oil fields are all empty? You know, then what? You know, what are we going to do? Go collect EI for the next, you know, like, 10 years till the next, you know, they find the next oil well? So it's, and a lot of people, they feel like, you know, the same way as natural resources, you know, natural resources should be, you know, like, saved, preserved for the next generation so they can decide what they want to do. Because if I were to decide today, well, you know what, I'm going to go open a gold mine. I'm not taking into consideration what my great-grandchildren will have. And that's me being selfish. You know, I want them to decide for themselves what they want. Because you know what? When you think about it, you know, like, if we don't protect our land and if we don't stand up in this generation, you know, our grandkids will, like, you know, dislike us. Some of them will probably even hate us. They'll be like, why didn't you do anything? You know, you guys could have done something. You guys should have, you know. And I don't want to hear that, you know. I want to be like, you know, like, hey, Grandma, hey, Kokum. You know, well, let's go to the trap line, you know. Show me how to trap. All right, let's go, baby. And, you know, that's what it's about. So it's pretty much happening everywhere, like different territories. In Ontario, like, we have, like, you know, mining, we have forestry, we have everything.
I was wondering if I could say a little something, which is I remember reading this report, and I think it was by the RCMP, and it was some kind of, you know, upper level of, you know, Canadian Empire-ish kind of thing. And they were saying that their biggest fear, and it was kind of a report on, like, the protest movement and whatnot, but they were saying that their biggest fear is that all the youth and all the people involved in the anarchists and the anarchist movement and the kind of like radical protest movement will begin to make connections and team up with indigenous resistance movements as well. And I just think it's really interesting. And I wonder what you have to say about that. Just the fact that that is one thing they fear the most is that white youth who recognize there's some severely things wrong with this establishment will begin to make connections with your people who are fighting back already.
Yeah, that's true. Like, these days, you have to be, like, really, really, really careful and cautious of what you say, because, you know, it can be taken into a different context and you could be, you know, labeled as something that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And our people, you know, like, we love the environment, we love the land, we love the animals, and, you know, to some, you know, person out there, you know, like, we're considered,
yeah,
you know, that, yeah, but we're not. And the thing is about, you know, like, there's a lot of, like, you know, like, little movements that are starting, you know, like the Native Youth Movement, you know, there's different kind of, like, you know, different groups of people that are coming together, and we're coming, you know, like, we're here, we've always been here, you know, but we've been sleeping for, like, a long time. And yeah, you know, the unity is coming to life, you know, the circle of life, you know, it's coming. And it's true, you know, like, they are afraid that we're going to start, you know, like, it's not organizing, it's just speaking from the heart. And I think people that speak from the heart, you know, they have most voice, they have most life in their voice, that, you know, it creates, you know, some sort of nervousness to some people, you know. And those people, you know, they'd rather, you know, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. It's a pretty powerful thing to speak from the heart. You know, everyone in our, like, a lot of people in our culture, you know, look at the heart as just this pump in this, like, mechanical body, and we speak from the mind. But I think speaking from the heart is where true power lies. Like, that's a true power from within. And it's a pretty dangerous thing because, you know, it's always honest. You know, if you speak from the heart, you're honest. And a lot of our culture, you know, operates in a gross dishonesty all the time. You know, you can't be honest with yourself. And that's how people make money and how those people get ahead in this hierarchical society. But when you speak from the heart, you can remind people about what's real. And so I think that's really inspiring and powerful.
Yeah.
You can't ignore it.
Knowledge is power, you know, like, the more you know, you know, the more you can change, you know, you can decide collectively or you can decide for yourself. And when you meet other people that, you know, feel the same as you do, you know, you have that certain connectiveness and then you just, like, you know, become friends. And a lot of times, you know, like, I've been told from one of the elders, you know, from a different territory, I think it was Shutika, which is in BC, you know, when you meet somebody and you have that instant connectiveness, it's because you already met in a different world, you know, in the spirit world. And then when you meet here in the physical world, you know, it's like you met your long lost sister, you know, like, you know how you say, oh, I met your twin, I met this girl, she's just like you, you know, but I mean, that's what it is, you know, it's, you met somewhere else and now you're meeting here, and that's what it is, it's the gathering of nations, you know, different people coming together to share their stories, share their histories, share their laughter, share their dances, their songs. And that's one thing about, you know, like us indigenous people, like, you know, we love to laugh, you know, like, it's true, because, you know, like, you can walk anywhere and, you know, like, you'll see a bunch of us standing around, and, you know, we're always giggling and laughing and we poke fun at each other, you know, but it's who we are, you know, we're peaceful, we're harmonious, we're loving, caring, nurturing people, and laughter is our healing, you know, and it's true, you know, like, the people that feel the same way as we do, yes, we will meet, you know, our paths will cross, you know, but only at the right time, and some people don't like that, you know, and that's okay too, you know, because that's their way of thinking, and they can't tell me how to think, and they can't tell me how to feel, but I'm going to keep doing what I do best, and what I do best is talking, you know, listening. And I don't know if you guys can tell, but I have like a broken jaw. I got into an accident. I was in Ottawa visiting my family, and I was on my way to the mall, like the bank machine, whatever. And we were crossing the lights, like, you know, in the car, and this person hit us, and the airbags came out, and this is 1 week before the tour started, and it took my mouth out, like, it just broke my jaw, you know, like, it's broken. And I stayed in the hospital for 4 days and four nights, and I was actually, you know, it gave me that time to, like, reflect and, you know, like, ground myself to see, like, you know, what happened, you know, like, why did this happen to me, like, what's going on? And I got so angry, you know, I was just so full of, like, you know, hatred. I was like, you know, well, that's it. I'm not doing a tour. You know, I mean, I'm not supposed to go. Well, I'm not going to do it. And that's what I did. I gave up. I just, you know, like, I laid there and I just stared at the ceiling. I was like, well, I can't do nothing. I'm a vegetable. You know, I can't do nothing. Blah, blah, blah. Boo-hoo. And then my mom, my adoptive mom, came in. And when I seen her, you know, she just looked at me and I started crying because I was like, you know, Mom, what's happening? Like, why is this happening to me? You know, I'm supposed to do this tour next week. Everything is ruined. Everything is, you know, like, everything, you know, my whole world just came crashing down on me. And I took that time to heal, you know, because that's what I need, because I guess I'm more or less burned out. And I took that time to, like, you know, actually reflect, you know, like, what's going on in this world. And then, I got a call from Gord, you know, the Rainforest Action Network person that's, you know, downstairs somewhere. Him and Dave are really amazing people. And Leah, well, she's gone now, but she's here. The thing is that I was sitting at my house in Ottawa, and I was just, like, sitting there, you know, watching Bell Express, you know, following the remote control and whatnot. And I got a phone call, and I said, Nisha, do you still want to do a tour? And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, I have to think about it, you know, I'm going to have to really think about it, because I don't think so, you know, I doubt it, because, you know, my jaw's broken, I can't speak properly, you know, I feel a little, you know, stressed out, you know, because I had perfect teeth, and now, you know, like, they're wired shut. And when I sat back on the couch, and I was watching TV, and it hit me, like, 20 minutes later, I was like, what am I doing? Our trees are still being cut. You know, these forests, these mining companies are still coming in. Volwater still wants aerial spray of land. Our people are still living out in the land. You know, I mean, they're still existing on the land. You know, everything is just going to, you know, get poisoned. And I'm sitting on a couch doing nothing. So I called my friend Gord back. And I said, you know what, Gord? I will. I am going to come with you. You know what, I could either sit on the couch for like 6 hours a day, you know, like 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours a day, watch the TV, or I could sit in a vehicle, travel to a different location, meet new people, you know, speak slowly, you know, and try to articulate my letters very clearly and whatnot, and just keep going. And you know what? I chose that path, you know. I chose to keep going because you know what? The only person that can stop you is yourself. And I've taken that to heart, and I'm not gonna quit, you know, just because I have a broken jaw. You know, take my finger out, take my foot out, you know, I'll still walk, and I'll still, you know, wave my hand around. But the bottom line is that, you know, like, our ancestors, you know, like, you know, in our history, you know, they survived genocide, they survived so much, you know, and they kept going, you know, they kept going. And I thought to myself, you know, hey, if they did it, so can I. And that's who I am, you know. I consider myself a warrior of the land, you know. I can't stop because, you know, our people need us, you know, and I need the people. You know, without the will of the people, nothing will happen. Our land needs us, you know, and that's why I'm out here, you know. I'm here because I'm doing what our ancestors have done for centuries. And I'm really, really, really proud.
You got that?
And I'm wondering if you have some closing things you'd like to say.
One of the biggest things that, well, I want to say thank you. Thanks to everybody. Thanks for, you know, tuning in. Thanks for checking in. And, you know, like, listen to your voice, you know, listen to your inner voice. You know, listen, look around you, you know, like, when you see the birds, you know, like, say, hey, you know, if you see a squirrel scrounging in a garbage can, you know, like, throw a piece of cheese, give him apples, you know, and start creating that unity around your circle, you know, around your friends. When you see your friends feeling down, you know, like, let them know that they're not alone. You know, our land needs us, you know, and if we choose to walk away and, you know, like, ignore it, you know, like, she'll ignore you too, you know. And what's happening in the world, you know, it's the cleansing, you know. It's Mother Earth. She's stressed out, you know, like all these hurricanes, these floodings, you know, these fires, you know, like, it's a natural environment, it's a natural law. And well, I'm not responsible for that, you know. It's Mother Earth, you know. It's she needs help. So and in regards to the supplies, and I'm so grateful and thankful to the people of Guelph, the students, you know, the great spirits of Guelph. My heart goes out to you, and you know, if you guys want to come up, you know, everyone's welcome to come up north, you know, and via rail, Sioux Lookout, Ontario. Gordon, them downstairs can probably give you more info, like, you know, for shipping and delivery and stuff. And I think it's really important, you know, that our people, you know, start, you know, talking. And this one person in BC once told me, it takes one drop to start a wave. And you could either ride the wave or, you know, what?
Get washed away. Yeah. Sink to the bottom.
Yeah.
Get eaten by a big fish.
So, yeah, you know, for all the people who are listening, you know, I want to, you know, thank you so much. And I'm continuing this tour, and I'm still out there. And
how can people get a hold of you if they would like to contact you in any way or find out more about what is going on up north? Like, is there a specific website or email address people can, if they want to go up north?
They can email legendary_whispers@hotmail.com. Right now, my friend Dave Stone, he's working on a website, so hopefully we'll have that site up pretty soon so we can send out some more information. And, my heart goes out to everybody and to all the Indigenous people that are out there, you know, be strong, you know, come home, you know, stand in unity, light those fires within, and, you know, just keep going, man, you know, believe in yourself.